I would like to read three short passages in John's Gospel, John chapter 3 and verse 18. John 3, verse 18. He that believes on him is not judged, but he that believes not has been already judged, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then chapter 20, chapter 20 of the same gospel, and verse 27. Then he says to Thomas, bring thy finger here and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. And the last verse is in chapter 11 of the same gospel, chapter 11 and verse 40. Jesus says to her, Did I not say to thee that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? The gospel is the good news that come from God. It is preached unto the obedience of faith. One thing that marks the gospel is that it comes directly from God. And the other thing is that it has to be believed. Now, I've been considering in recent times that we are in our pathway, we are called to trust and believe in many earthly things. What I mean is that when you go to the bank, you draw your money, you believe that the money is there. When you go to a shop, you believe that the food they sell you is good. This is very common to us. It has become so common that we don't think of it until something goes wrong. Then we understand that the belief is put into the wrong place. But you know, one thing that is wonderful is that God's word cannot go wrong. His communication is true. It's full of grace, but it is true. And you cannot fail if you believe on it. Now, what does it really mean to believe? Have we ever, I'm asking this to myself, have I ever thought of it enough? I thought of these three passages because in the first passage there is the need of belief. If you don't believe, you are judged. This is the setting of the gospel. Now, think back a moment of what happened on earth. God created earth in a perfect way. It was beautiful. At the seventh day, he rested, because at the end of the sixth day, he saw that everything was very good. Is it very good today? Creation is still good. It carries on despite all that man has done, through God's grace. But there is nothing good around us, nor even in myself. But what happened was that after that, men fell in disobedience on account of the attack of Satan. He rather believed the words of Satan rather than the words of God. So, judgment has been introduced. That judgment was pending on men. Through his mercy, God never executed it completely in a way apart, of course, the deluge, but in that case, there was a group, a set of persons that were saved. But the point is that the judgment is still pending upon us if we don't believe. And that is exactly what the Lord says here. He that believes on him is not judged. Now, who it is, him, is the Lord Jesus. He's the person, divine person, that God has sent in order to save us and in order to preserve us from this judgment. The judgment was righteous. God said, in the day in which thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die. And that judgment has been accomplished. Death has been introduced. And God carried on in grace in order that trying to speak to men through various means, coming to the point in which he sent his own son, and they even refused his own son. Not only the Israelites, the Romans did the same. So we Gentiles are responsible before God. If we don't believe, we are judged. Now, you will say the gospel preaching is not about judgment, but it's good to remember that God is righteous and above all is holy. And he cannot abide with disobedience and with sin. So we need to believe on the Lord Jesus. That is the need of belief. Now, once you believe, where do you start? If you start from the Lord Jesus, as it is necessary, you have to go back to the cross. And Thomas here had not had said to his fellow disciples that he wouldn't have believed unless he could see. And when the Lord comes in, he gracefully introduces his peace. And then he gently turns to Thomas and asks him to not only to look unto the signs, but to put his hand forward. That involves really understanding the meaning of the cross. The cross on which the Lord was hanged is the place where the judgment was carried by the Lord himself instead of ourselves. That judgment that is on us, if we don't believe on him, was on the Lord Jesus on that cross. Nails through his hands and his feet. And his side was cut. That shows that the Lord was really a man and he suffered as a man. Imagine being on the cross and bearing all that. As we know, the worst kind of suffering they couldn't inflict upon men. And on top of it, there was all the moral suffering of the Lord. He was carrying sin. He, who was perfectly sinless, he was carrying sin, he that was with God, in full communion with him, and we were in enmity with God, far from him. The Lord was carrying all that. And Thomas wanted to see those signs. Do you want to understand what the cross was about? Do you want to consider those holes in his hands and that side that was hurt on account of us? That is the basis of our belief. The Lord Jesus, in his person, carrying everything for ourselves in order that we might be set free. That was his task, perfect task, that he accomplished in a full way, in a perfect way. He was sent from the Father, and he depended on him all his time here. And yet, perfect, beautiful mystery, he was God himself. God himself there, offered as a perfect victim in a man that was perfect himself. What a wonder there is there. Wouldn't you believe in the Lord Jesus in that way? Starting from where he was there for you and for me, so that we can now avoid judgment because he has carried it himself. He that believes on him is not judged. Now, Thomas got the immediate benefit of that sight, of the kind invitation of the Lord. I'd like to think that the Lord is inviting each one of you today to look unto him. We remember this morning that he is not suffering anymore now, but he has suffered. He did suffer for us. And that is something that has to be carried in our minds in order that we may believe on a person that has accomplished all things for us. Then I thought of the last passage, because there is hope in relation to belief. The Lord Jesus speaks to Martha in a difficult moment. Her brother had died. The evidence of death was there. And the Lord had explained to Martha that in contrast with the death that was there, there was life. I am the resurrection and the life. Understandably, Martha was rather slow in getting all that. I think I would have been slower than her. And she couldn't really grasp what the Lord says. So when they get to the actual fact of opening the tomb, she points out the corruption, the death involved. The Lord answers in a beautiful way. He doesn't speak of death, of corruption. He says, "Have I not told you that if you believe, you shall see the glory of God?" Now, if you put this in the believer nowadays, that means that you believe, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you have a hope of glory. And that glory is the glory of God that has acted, has done all things, even to the point of bringing life where death was. There is no need of despair if you believe on the Lord. No judgment. Understanding the sufferings of the Lord and having a hope of glory. What was the glory of God there? The glory of God was that glory that was manifested in the Lord Jesus himself as God, who could bring life where death was. Now that sentence of death therefore could have been put away forever under the Lord's hand and under the Lord's action. I understand that the passage is also an application to Israel, but I would rather that you as a believer, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, think of the hope of glory that is in view. Think, if the Lord doesn't come before and we ever have to go through death, the Lord will come and get all those who are asleep and put them into life again. That is the hope of glory of a believer. And not only that, those who are still alive, they will be transformed and brought with the Lord in a different body that won't suffer what we suffer here. What hope there is to be with the Lord. But the condition with Martha was, if thou shouldest believe. The Lord gently says her, did I not tell you? Has he told you? Have you heard his invitation to believe? If you have heard it today, press on and believe now. And if you haven't heard, open your heart to the Lord Jesus. The gospel is preached to this effect, in view of a result in your own soul. You might say, I've been a believer for many years. That is very, very good. But never forget that the enemy is continually attacking. And belief is a living feeling, a living fact in our hearts. We need to believe day by day. All right, you've put your trust in the Lord, but believe day by day, and thou shalt see. You shall see the glory of God. Glory of God that we long to see as well in the practical results of his work in the souls of those around us. That is a part of the glory that we really wish to see and long to see. May we really be encouraged, dear friends, because belief in the Lord is really what God sets out in the gospel message. And if we believe on him, there is no judgment. There is understanding of his sufferings. Partial understanding, of course, because they are far beyond our measure. But the Lord has brought it on himself in order that we may be free. And if you are free, as he said, if the Son shall make you free, then you will be really free. I don't know the exact version in English. This is really free, you know. Free from everything. Free to see the glory of God that opens up a sphere of blessing. We have spoken today about the deliverance from the first order of things, and that is what brings us into the blessedness of what the Lord has opened up with his work. May we be blessed in believing in the Lord for his name's sake. Amen.